Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dottiglia along with Charlie Long in studio. And we are joined by Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereff, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. Mark, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
You got it, guys. Always my pleasure.
Mark, boy, if you were a Tampa Bay fan, you'd really have liked what you saw Sunday. You're talking about 277 yards rushing on 35 carries, 7.9 yards a rush. In the second half, it was a demolition job on what they did running the football against the Saints defense. You've been in spots where everything seems to click in you. Went up against a team, it looked more like pinball. There wasn't a lot of effort on the tackling part. It was just sort of bouncing off of players. Kind of talk a little bit about that. When you physically beat a team like that in the trenches, that feeling you have as an offensive lineman.
Yeah, there's nothing better, because you know as beat up as you get from, you know, dispensing justice, you know how beat up they are. And there's nothing more humiliating for a defense than to not be able to stop the run. Like, listen, man, you give up an 80-yard throw over the top, you know, on a busted coverage or whatever, and everybody just goes, oh, hey, man, you know, got to be better. We can't have that mistake, you know, blah, blah, blah. But when it's consistently 5 yards, 7 yards, 15 yards, 6 yards, 8 yards, boom, you know, 40-yard touchdown. Like, when you do that to a team, you just beating them down like that, you watch the infighting, you know, through the linebackers and the safeties and the defensive linemen, and they're screaming at each other. There's nothing more satisfying for an offense to watch that go down. I remember years ago, right after I was playing with Denver, we were the number one seed in football in 1996, and we lose to Jacksonville on, you know, what I thought was just a garbage game plan. And I hated it coming into the game, and, you know, it proved to be right, where they could get us to check out every run we had. Terrell Davis, at the end of the day, this guy that had 1,800 yards rushing that season. And they got us to check out of our run game to the point where I think we gave it to Terrell Davis, who's averaging, you know, 25, 30 carries a game. I think he got it 12 times for 95 yards or something crazy like that, right? Then the following year, we played Jacksonville in the playoffs again, and we hung 305 yards rushing on Jacksonville in that game. It was like, you guys ain't going to get us to check out of nothing. Ain't no run we're checking out of. We're just pounding you. And, you know, TD came out at, like, in the third quarter, and then we had two backup running backs go for 100 each. So, yeah, it's glorious to watch a team, not to be a part of that team, you know, obviously not to be a fan of New Orleans, but if you're in Tampa, man, it's glorious to watch that go down.
One of the things we've talked about with the Bucs, and you've seen it sort of work over the last 3 years, they've won the NFC South. Last year, I don't think anybody picked them to win the NFC South when the season started. Baker has really played better than anyone thought he would at this stage. But it's been their kind of retooling of the roster. Every draft choice in the 2024 draft class made the team. Over the last 2 years, they've hit on all but one draft choice, didn't make the team. And over the last 3 years, it's 26 out of 30. And how this team got from a Brady and a Gronk and an Ndamukong Suh, Devin White, who was still a young player in this league, but they cut him loose. They had other guys. Leonard Fournette was on that team. And they've gotten to be a really young roster. And when the season started, only two guys that they didn't draft were starters. Now, that's changed a little bit because of injuries, but one's Baker Mayfield, and the other one's the offensive lineman, Ben Bradenson. How did they have done that in a very quiet, soft rebuild, but they've done it through the draft?
Yeah, well, part of it was necessity. Right?
Yes.
Part of it was like, hey, man, we spent all this money on aging veterans, and so we had to cut those guys loose. So these guys are going to have to play, and they're going to have to figure out a way to win. And it started, you know, even back when Brady was there.
Yep.
So, you know, they started playing some younger players, some of their draft picks, and their draft picks were, you know, dispersed between veteran players that could teach them kind of how to play. And then the last 2 years, they really had to turn that roster over. But they've done a great job of getting not only really good players, but the right type of player, right? The guy that's going to hustle, the guy that's going to play hard, do all those things. And they've got enough veteran leadership, you know, on that roster with guys like Lavonte David. You know, he's going to play the game the right way, and guys that get around him are going to learn how to play the game the right way just like that. They've got guys like Tristan Wirfs on that offensive line. They're going to teach the younger guys how to play the game the right way. So they've done that with younger guys. They went out and got a free agent at the right tackle position. Who'd they get? Gedeki, I think, is who plays there for them. They got him, and he has been a real pleasant surprise. So they've done a really good job with some lower-key free agent guys like what they did with Baker. And then, you know, they've had those draft picks pan out. And then they've had superstars, you know, that have just played the game the right way. Mike Evans is incredible, plays the game the right way. Chris Godwin's one of the great football players in the National Football League, bar none.
Saints fans don't like to see him play against him. I'm telling you right now. I mean, he's been much more of the killer than Mike Evans has.
Oh, he's because you know you roll in coverage to Mike Evans, you're trying to take him out. And Godwin is just a football player, man. And there's very few guys who kind of set the tone, you know, kind of the toughness tone on the offensive side of the ball from the receiver position, and he is one of them. So they've done a really good job of building that roster, and they have just done a really nice job. Jason Light over there, the GM, has done a really nice job. And part of that, you know, is he knew he paid the piper to bring Brady in and to win that Super Bowl. And he knew, listen, man, this buys me some time. Like, it buys me some time. And he just has hit on every guy pretty much. And some of them are necessities, but he just pretty much hit on every guy in the draft. And they have rebuilt that roster, like, in a heartbeat. And of course, you couldn't have assumed that Baker was going to play as well as Baker did. And he got better as the year went on. But now he's got a ton of swagger back, and he's playing really good football.
Mark, it's in your neck of the woods, so to speak, but a little bit of a scouting report on the Broncos. Sean was always noted here, high-powered offense, put a lot of points on the board. But he's winning in Denver. His defense has played really well. They run the football. Young quarterback, hey, just don't make a ton of mistakes. Just play, you know, and go to the right spot. And one thing with Bo, kind of knowing his background, he got a thick hide. And you better have one if you play for Sean, because he's going to get on you. And, you know, Bo is willing to flip it right back, because he's been through adversity in his life, too. And, you know, you look at those days at University of Auburn. But for people that maybe haven't seen this team a lot, a little bit of a breakdown, the strengths and the weaknesses of the Denver Broncos.
They're really good on the defensive line. They're really, really good there, and they've got some speed and athleticism at the second level of their defense as well. Safety's playing really well. They've lost – listen, they're not going to have their star corner and PS2, Patrick Surtain, the second, right? So he went out with a concussion last week. He won't – I don't think he'll clear protocol by Thursday night. So you're not going to have him. So, you know, that adds to the issues that they had a little bit on defense last week. But they're going to play hard. They're going to fly around. They're going to make plays. They're very multiple. They're very diverse. They bring a lot of pressure. They're not afraid to blitz you, man. They are not afraid to bring five, to bring six, to bring a zero blitz. They're not afraid. They'll err on the side of aggressiveness, and they make a lot of plays on that side of the ball. So that's what's kept them – you know, that's what's kept them in games. Ultimately, offensively, they're talent wise, I think their talent is a little bit on the meager side. So, you know, Courtland Sutton is their best receiver. I don't think he's a true number one, but he's their number one receiver. And you've seen a lot of teams rolling coverage to him and not being afraid to go man to man everywhere else. They haven't had a tight end since really, like literally since Shannon Sharp. Like, they have not had a productive tight end, and Sean still doesn't have a tight end that threatens anybody in the middle of the field. And when you watch Bo last week, his footwork was frenetic. He dropped his eyes and, you know, and looked the rush. He got he decided to run well before, you know, like if he just waits a half a beat, somebody's going to come open on a crosser. Like he missed. Yeah, the first half was as bad as I've seen him play since he came there. Like it was a bad look. Second half, he played much better. I think Sean adjusted some of his offense, gave him some quick options, gave him a quick game, you know, where it's a three-step drop, get the ball out, instead of trying to protect him, you know, with chips and everything else and keeping backs and tight ends in, try to give him a bit of a quick game. He seemed to excel at that a little bit. He's exceptionally athletic, man. He can run. He can motor in the pocket. But I thought his pocket presence for the first time was really poor. I thought there was some really poor decision-making on his behalf. He regressed last week, and I'm not sure exactly why that is or why that happened, but I'm expecting a much better, calmer guy. And, you know, you're 100% right about Sean. Like, Sean's going to get in your butt about stuff. So I know that's going to be addressed, and I would assume – we'll see a little bit more of an up-tempo, get-the-ball-out-of-your-hand game, kind of like when they went into Tampa and beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 26-7. That whole game was based on, hey, Bo, let's three-step drop, let's five-step drop, no hitch, get the ball out, let's go. And I expect them to do a little bit more of that on Thursday night.
Insider Calls with Mark Schlereth are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Charlie?
Mark, before we let you run, I couldn't let you go without asking about the NFC North and just what they've done this year. You talk about an arms race when the worst team is 4-2. That kind of tells you something. But the Minnesota Vikings playing the Detroit Lions this upcoming weekend, I think you're going to learn a lot about both squads. I mean, Detroit's coming off a shellacking in Dallas, and Minnesota's coming off a bye week, but they started out 5-0, so those are the two teams at the top right now. But then there's also Green Bay at 4-2, and Chicago has kind of bounced back from a slow start on a three-game winning streak to get them at 4-2. It just seems like a division that, you know, a lot of fans have hope early on, and I mean, rightfully so, because these are all great teams.
Mark, who's going to be left out?
It's tough.
Sort of playoff-wise,
man.
At this stage, if you look at it.
I still think Chicago's the fourth best team. I mean, they've beat up on three really bad teams lately. But Caleb has gotten a lot better defensively. They're a really good football team. So, you know, like that team is sneaky good. I think the Detroit Lions are the best team in football, and I think they can beat you any style of game you want to play. You want to be physically beat up, they'll beat you up physically. You want them to throw the ball over the top of your head, they can do that. We saw the trick plays against Dallas, a bunch of them. It was just almost on the disrespectful side. I loved every second of it. So, like, they've got that ability as well. So they are an outstanding football team. Obviously, Aiden Hutchinson hurts them a bit. We'll see if a trade happens to get them another pass rusher. But they're a damn good football team. And let me just say that when you're really good at running the ball, when you're really good in protections, and I would argue that they have the best offensive line in football. When you're really good at all that stuff, like, you beg teams to blitz you. And I know that Brian Flores is a really intricate scheme and it's really hard to deal with, but you're excited. Like, when you're really good, oh, I want them to blitz us. Because when they do, guess what happens? That's when you get those 80-yard chunk plays. That's when you get that 55-yard run that's a breakout run. That's, like, that stuff, when you have that stuff and you're good, and you're a really good offense, and that's how, hey man, that's how Flores plays. That they're going to live by the blitz, they're going to die by the blitz. And my prediction would be they're going to die by the blitz this weekend.
Mark, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate your time, and always great insights. And man, I enjoy listening to you and watching you in the morning too. So I get a full dose today.
You guys have a great one.
Thanks, Mark.
Appreciate it.
Yep.
That was Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider Calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious.